Welcome to this Ufula audio production of The Lone Ranger Rides by Fran Stryker. Volume 9, Chapter 26, Disaster Gets Organized. As Wally descended the stairs after this talk with the masked man, his nonchalance crystallized into a grim resolve that completely transformed his personality. He paused at the bottom of the flight and glanced up. The mysterious man with the mask apparently had returned to Bryant's bedroom. Then Wally opened the front door and stepped to the veranda. Half a dozen of the ranch hands were there with ill-concealed curiosity. Wally spoke softly but without a trace of the careless ease that marked his style at other times.
"Go back to whatever you were doing," he ordered. "If you're needed, we'll fend for you."
"Who's that masked man with Bryant?" asked one of the men.
"None of your damn business," retorted Wally in a surly voice. "Get to work and you'll be sent for later." He turned to another man. "Has Gimlet been buried yet?"
The lanky individual addressed shook his head slowly.
"We just tossed a blanket over him," he said. "We weren't sure what your plans was. He's still in the bunkhouse."
Wally nodded.
"Leave him there for the time being."
He swung through the door and headed for the upset living room. Had Penelope seen Wally in his present mood, she would have revised her opinion of him in 100 ways. He walked with a purposeful air instead of the familiar sauntering gait. His eyes, generally half-closed in boredom, were wide and divided by a perpendicular frown crease on his forehead, and those eyes were hard. His hands were clenched with such intensity that the well-cared-for fingernails bit into the palms. Hard fists in place of hands that strum soft tunes of romance on a guitar. The soft, full-lipped mouth was gone, and in its place there was the same hard line that Brian Cavendish showed when angry. Wally was indeed a different person, a fop no longer, instead a man of purpose with cruel ruthlessness in every feature. He went through the living room without a pause and halted only when he reached the kitchen. He closed the door without a slam. Jeb sat with a woebegone expression on a heavy chair. Sawtell, as bland as ever, stood beside him, holding a heavy gun in one hand. At the sight of Wally, Sawtell spoke.
"He started to make some complaints a little while ago. I tapped him on the head. I don't think we'll hear any more from him."
Wally glanced at his lean brother. There was a cut somewhere beneath the stringy hair on the left side of Jeb's skull. Blood seeping from it had dribbled down his cheek and stained his collar. Jeb's eyes held an unvoiced but pathetic plea. They resembled those of a hog-tied calf suffering the torment of a branding iron. Wally said,
"Better gag and tie him. I'll decide later what's to be done."
Sawtell nodded and dropped his pistol in a holster and proceeded with the tying, while Jeb, who knew that a voiced complaint would simply mean another crack on the head, made no resistance. Lonergan sat on the edge of the kitchen table, casually working on his fingernails with a carving knife. He glanced up, a question mark in his expression. There had been two others locked in the vault beneath the living room. They too were present in the kitchen. Lombard and Vince, sullen and dripping muttered curses as well as sweat, stood side by side, leaning against the wall with half-filled whiskey glasses in their hands.
"Are you sure?" began Wally. "None of you know who that masked man is."
He glanced from one to another, receiving negative headshakes.
"All I know about him is that I spent a hell of a night in that damn wet cellar, and I'm going to square it with him," grumbled Lombard.
"What about me?" snapped Vince. "My joints will ache for a week after last night."
"You," said Wally, looking at Lombard,
"stand at the foot of the stairs and make sure he don't come out of Bryant's room. Vince, you get close to the window and keep watch on the gap. Yuma will be here sometime today with a warrant for Bryant's arrest, and lawmen to act on that warrant." "Why me? What's the matter with Sawtell or Lonergan?"
Wally didn't reply, but his cold-eyed gaze was quite enough. Vince grumbled his way to the window, as if he resented being ordered about by his own brother in the same fashion that ordinary outlaws were commanded. He dragged a chair to the window and sat down.
"This'll do for a time,"
Sawtelle suggested as he tied the last knot in the ropes around Jep's arms.
Now what'll we do with him?
Leave him where he is until I finish speaking, and then we'll decide later what we're going to do with him. I told you that already.
He knows too damn much.
He knows too damn much, said Vince. And he's too dumb to be any good to us. Why worry about him?
Who, said Wally, is worrying?
What about the masked man? What was it you said about Yuma coming with the law?
It was Lonergan, the lawyer gambler, speaking.
Wally explained briefly how Yuma's hat had been shot at by Bryant, how both Yuma and the man with the mask were convinced that Bryant Cavendish was the leader of all that went on in the basin.
That works out fine for us. We may have to lay low for a little while, but we've been needing a rest anyhow. We'll sell off some of the cattle we've got here now, but wait till things cool down before we bring in any more.
He went into detail explaining how the masked man's plan was to persuade Bryant to confess before he went to jail,
and he figures on letting the law take you men back.
Sawtelle shifted his weight uneasily, and Lonergan laid down the carving knife.
There's a rope just a little too tight for my neck waiting for me if I go back to Red Oak, Sawtelle said.
None of you's going back, snapped Wally. Didn't I tell you when I suggested you come here and help me out that I'd see you well protected?
Maybe you've got some new scheme, suggested Lonergan.
I have.
Better be good. Your idea was working out swell until Rebecca sent for the law. Then, instead of entertaining those Texas Rangers and convincing them that everything was all right here, you had to ambush them. As a lawyer, I advised against that massacre.
I didn't ask for your advice, Lonergan.
Well, it was a mistake to dry gulch them anyway. That won't stop other Rangers from coming here to see what happened to them. I tell you, Wally, there's a great big rope, speaking in picturesque way of the story writers, around all of us, and that rope is being hauled in tight.
Like hell it is, barked Wally in a sharp reply. If you'll button your lip for a few minutes, I'll tell you how everything has worked out to put us in the clear.
You weren't satisfied with that massacre. You had to kill Rangoon, then Gimlet, and then Mort last night, the lawyer went on accusingly.
My policy, replied Wally, his voice cold with suppressed anger, is to leave no loose ends. Rangoon couldn't be relied on. Gimlet already knew a few things and thought a lot more. Mort would have squealed his yellow head off to avoid being hanged. As for Yuma, the damn shame he didn't get a couple of slugs where they do the most good for us.
I don't know why he was hired to work here at all, said Lonergan. It wasn't like the rest of the men.
Bryant himself hired Yuma, and God knows why. Anyway, it's the fact that Yuma's bringing the law that'll put us in the clear.
In the clear on what? Asked Lonergan.
I don't know why in the hell I take so much back talk from you, Lonergan, said Wally.
I do. It's because you wouldn't have a ghost of a show in handling things after Bryant dies without my legal talents.
The lawyer studied his fingernails with exaggerated concern and again picked up the carving knife.
Now, what is this big scheme of yours to put us in the clear? My own suggestion would be to go to Bryant's room, get the drop on that masked man, and then...
I'll do the talking from now on, Wally interrupted. In the first place, there's the murder of Rangoon to be accounted for. Well, that masked man and the Indian friend that went to town with Penny were both in the clearing. All right, we blame Rangoon's death on them. As for Gimlet, Yuma had a lot better chance to kill him than I did. It's known that Yuma was on the ranch at the time, but no one knows that I came back from Red Oak by the Thunder Mountain route, knifed Gimlet, and went back to town. We tell the lawmen it's Yuma who killed Gimlet. I'll accuse him when he gets here and let him try to deny it. Penny herself, if need be, will have to say that Yuma was here at the time.
Lonergan nodded. So far you're doing good. Go on.
As for Mort's death, hell, that's easy to blame on the masked man. Everybody in Red Oak has already accused him of murdering Mort. Everybody in town heard him yell to that white horse of his when he carried Bryant away. Why, the public sentiment's with us. There ain't anyone in town that wouldn't blame the masked man for the killing. Not only Mort, but Bryant as well.
Sounds swell to me, admired Sawtelle. Oh, but the fact that this masked man and Bryant are both upstairs and living.
That's a detail that's going to be taken care of pronto, stated Wally. My story, which Vince will back up, being that none of you others dare show yourselves,
is that the masked man brought Brian here dead. I shot him for it after a hell of a fight. Now what's the matter with that?
Lonergan pondered and then said, Those two are still alive. That's the only trouble.
Won't take long to remedy that. We go to Brian's room, burst in, and start shooting. Get Brian and get the masked man. I took the trouble to bring the key with me so the door won't be locked. By looking through the keyhole, we'll make sure where the two of them are. Then when we go into the room, we won't be shooting blind. We can't miss.
More I hear about it, said Sawtelle, better it sounds. It'll be a big relief to have Brian out of our way for keeps. He's been a damn nuisance around here.
We had to let him live until we had things arranged, explained Wally. But now there's no more need of him.
It'll not only get rid of Bryant, added Sawtelle. It'll clear up the murders around here. I suppose you've got some way all worked out to blame the killing of those Texas Rangers on him, too.
The masked man will be blamed for those. It's well known that he and the Indian are pods. Their footprints are both up there on Thunder Mountain, where the buzzards are cleaning off Rangoon's bones. The Indian's footprints are near the graves of the Rangers. Any lawman could put two and two together and get the answer that the masked man and the Indian killed him. If the Redskin tries to deny it, who listened to him against the evidence?
Lonergan laid down the knife methodically and slid from the edge of the table to his feet. Wally looked at him defiantly, as if daring the lawyer to find a flaw in his plans. There was a mixture of surprise and admiration in the way Lonergan looked at Wally.
I didn't think you had it in you. I'm damned if it won't work. Wally's deep-rooted respect for the adroit brain of the lawyer made him glow with pleasure at a compliment from the man.
As I see it, though, there's one little flaw in your plans.
What's that?
Demanded Wally.
The story you figure on telling won't account for a lot of bullet holes around that bedroom of your uncle. Have you got a way around that worked out?
Of course. We tell the law that Brant was shot in front of the house, and that I shot the masked man for it in the same place. Both the corpses will be on the porch, and there won't be any reason to go into the bedroom after we have the chance to clean it up.
All right, that'll do it then, replied Lonergan.
I have a hunch, contributed Vince from his post at the window, that Brian's been suspecting things for some time. I'll be damn glad to see him done away with. With him and Penny out of here, we won't have to be so damn careful about every move we make.
Wally nodded.
After the law is satisfied, we'll go on just as we've been. Vince will take charge of things while I'm tomcatting around Red Oak and playing the part of a girl-crazy Romeo while I listen for news about cattle ranches that are just inviting visitors like us.
The leader of the group sketched a few details of his plans, then said,
I want all of you to go upstairs with me. Keep your guns drawn and keep still. We'll take Lombard with us as we go by him. When the fireworks are over with, me and Vince will wait for Yuma to fetch the lawmen, and the rest of you can hide. Now put Jeb down in the vault and then fix the room up, as it should be. While you're doing all that, I'll tell Lombard the plans, and then we'll all go up to Brian's room.
Jeb was still dazed from the ugly blow Sawtelle had given him. He was limp and unresisting as the men picked him up bodily, hands and feet tied tightly, and carried him to the living room. They dropped him on the floor and replaced things where they belonged. Sawtelle tossed the hunk of firewood to one side and then handed down the chair from its place on the tabletop. Lonergan kicked the chair toward a wall, while Sawtelle stepped to the floor and hauled away the table. It was Vince who opened the trap door, then rolled his brother Jeb into the opening. He laughed as he heard Jeb's body strike the hard dirt floor below.
"Don't get in no mischief down there," he called.
Closed the door and pulled the rug into place to conceal it. Meanwhile, Wally was with Lombard at the foot of the stairs. Lombard was grinning and nodded as the others joined the couple. He drew his gun and spun the cylinder to check it. A moment later, after a few last whispered instructions from Wally, the five were ready to go upstairs with disaster for the Lone Ranger. Chapter 27 Guns Talk Back. The murder-bent quintet went up the stairs like Indians, stalking single file through the wooded land. Each man carried his gun in his left hand and braced himself with his right against the wall.
They stayed as close to that wall as possible to minimize the creaking of the stairs. The only sound was a faint, leathery whisper from the dusty boots. Wally cursed inwardly at his lack of foresight and not having his men go stocking-footed to the double murder. Wally was in the lead, Vince in the rear. In this order, they gained the upstairs hall. Any apprehensions Willie might have had about the squeaking boots were dispelled as he drew close to Bryant's door. A resonant voice, undoubtedly that of the masked man, was speaking. Wally felt no qualms of guilt or conscience at the cold-blooded ruthlessness of his plans. He hadn't the slightest intention of giving the men who were marked for execution a chance to defend themselves. The code of Western fair play was missing from Wally's personality. This was to be no duel, but simply the death of two men whose extinction had become essential to his plans. Wally halted at the closed but unlocked door and motioned Lonergan and Lombard past him. As the leader faced the door, those two were on his left, while Vince and Sawtell, guns now shifted to their right hands, stood upon his right. All but Wally were balanced on the balls of their feet, tense and ready to charge through that door. But Wally hesitated. He could hear the masked man's voice with a vibrant quality carrying through the door. He could hear distinctly each word that was said. The masked man was scolding old Brian Cavendish. Wally crouched and placed one eye close to the keyhole. The room he saw was dimly lit. It was difficult to see details. The blankets were mounted on the bed as if they'd been pulled over Brian's big body. On the far side of the bed, Wally could make out a white sombrero and judge that to be where the masked man sat while he conducted the one-sided conversation. Wally now knew just where he should direct his men to fire when he threw open the door. He hesitated, listening to what was being said inside.
"You're the most unreasonably stubborn old fool I've ever known, Cavendish."
It was the masked man speaking.
"It's high time for you to drop this false pride of yours. Admit you've grown old. Let somebody help you. Cavendish, all these murders are yours. I know you aren't the killer personally, but none of them could possibly have happened if you hadn't been so stubbornly foolish. You'd never admit that you found it hard to walk. You thought you hid that fact, but you didn't. You didn't fool anybody at all. Then, when your eyes began to fail, you tried to hide that too. Why, right now, you're so nearly blind you have to feel your way."
Wally heard a low-toned response from his uncle. Then the masked man continued.
"All those nephews of yours realized you not only were incapable of getting about, but that you couldn't even see what went on. They felt secure in doing whatever they pleased, so they organized a regular crime ring here in the basin. They replaced all of your former hands with crooks whom they selected. They let it be known in the right places that this basin would be a safe hideout for men the law was looking for. You couldn't see what your cowhands looked like, so you had no cause to distrust them. You wouldn't go to a doctor and have your eyes treated and your sight improved because you wanted to conceal your condition."
Wally reasoned that inasmuch as neither of the two beyond the door was to survive much longer, he might as well hear what else this incalculable masked man knew.
"Penelope tried her best to find reasons for your unconcern over the ways things were going here. She thought more of you than you deserved. She tried to convince herself that you were not aware of things, and tried to find out if blindness was the reason. She defended you when Yuma turned against you. And what was her reward for that loyalty? You turned against her, the same as you did against those graceless cousins. She was made to sign away her rights just as they were. Don't interrupt, Cavendish. I've got more to say. Yuma felt that as long as you were alive, that girl would be guarded and protected. And how wrong he was. But that was what he thought, and when I captured him, he tried to convince me that he was the leader of these basin killers. He was ready to spend the rest of his life as a fugitive in hiding and keep the law off your neck. When I showed him the document that Penelope had been made to sign, he realized he'd made a mistake. He saw then that the girl he loved could look for little enough happiness or security through you. Who in the name of heaven is this Andrew Munson? What do you owe him that you deprive Penelope of any future comfort in his favor?"
Wally strained to hear what Bryant's reply would be, but there was none. In the brief pause, he heard the heavy, emotional breathing of the masked man.
Wasn't until this morning I learned some truths. I knew that somebody had slipped into this basin and murdered Gimlet, because the killer rode within 10 yards of me. I didn't know who it was. Tonto was halfway up Thunder Mountain when the same man went by. It was too dark there for the Indian to identify him when he killed Rangoon. Then he went on to Red Oak, where he let Mort out of jail with instructions to kill you in your hotel room. You know what happened there. I told you how I shot him in the leg and how he was stabbed to death. Since then, I've learned who the killer is. I told you about Tonto. He was here waiting for the riders to come back from Red Oak. The trail from Red Oak is on hard ground, as you know. The trail over Thunder Mountain, though, is marshy in a lot of places. The loam there is soft and black and different from anything that could be found in the trail through the gap. Well, Tonto watched when each horse came into the corral. He found one, just one horse, Cavendish, that had black loam caked to the fetlocks. He gave me the name of the man who rode and owned that horse in a note which he left at the cave. And that man is your nephew, Wally.
Wally, listening, frowned heavily, and thanked his lucky stars that this man, with such a keen and logical mind, was to be killed. He would prove a dangerous adversary if he was left alive.
You don't believe me,
the masked man said.
You won't let yourself believe or trust anyone, but I'll prove Wally is what I've told you. If I can prove that, will you talk?
Wally had heard enough. Come on! He cried and threw the door wide open. Lombard and Sawtell plunged into the room and dropped to one knee while they opened fire. Lonergan and Vince were close behind, firing over them, while Wally remained in back. Guns crashed deafeningly in the confines of the room. The white hat near the bed became a thing alive, leaping across the room in crazy circles. The mound of blankets on the bed became a shaking mass as bullet after bullet bored deep. A score of shots roared in the blink of an eye. Then, back talk and the voices of six shooters came from a corner of the room. Sawtell's gun jumped from his hand as if by magic. His fingers were suddenly a bloody mass, at which the killer stared in stupefaction. More flames glanced from the corner, and Lombard's extended gun arm snapped as a .45 slug tore through flesh and bone between wrist and elbow. Sawtell felt no pain in the heat of battle. Instinctive gunman that he was, he fell flat upon his belly, jerking out a second revolver with his left hand. Loud snarls and curses came from a pain-maddened Lombard, while Sawtell took careful aim. He steadied his weapon at the point between the eye slits of the mask, his finger tensed upon the trigger. Then suddenly his arm dropped, his gun unfired. He went limp and slumped. In his forehead there was a tiny hole, but at the back of the head was an awful sight where a soft-nosed slug had gouged out his skull. Half-blind, Bryant Cavendish fired at sounds with an instinct that was supersensitive. Somehow, the old man had found one of his guns and cried aloud in savage hate as he rocketed shot after shot toward the doorway.
They're all against me, he cried out. I'll show 'em I don't need sight. I can locate skunks by smell, damn them.
His gun whammed again, and death sped at the doorway. Wally screamed his orders.
In the corner, shoot 'em, drill 'em.
He pushed from behind at the instant that the Lord Lonergan took a bullet from the masked man's gun on the hand and one from Bryant's big revolver in the belly. He pitched forward and fell across the writhing form of Lombard. Shrill yells and cries of pain rose far above Wally's livid curses. The Lone Ranger snatched the gun from Bryant's hand.
No more shooting,
he cried. He leapt toward the doorway, head low and charged. Vince had swung to face the surprise counterattack. His gun blazed, but the Lone Ranger was beneath the slug. He crashed into Vince with such force that the runty killer was lifted off his feet and tossed across the room, while his gun was jarred out of his hand. Wally, knowing his life depended on the fight, scrambled up from the floor. The thought of losing made him frantic as he swung his empty gun in a vicious blow at the Lone Ranger. The blow struck the Lone Ranger on the bandaged shoulder. A sudden stab of pain like a white-hot iron gripped his side as Wally followed up his advantage. Still clutching the heavy revolver, he rammed it muzzle first into the masked man's chest.
The Lone Ranger couldn't breathe. The blow must have broken at least one rib, possibly more. He felt his legs caving beneath him, while his brain fought valiantly against dizziness that threatened to engulf him. He threw both arms about Wally and locked his hands behind his adversary's neck. He was falling and helpless to prevent it. He was barely conscious of the fact that Wally kept driving more blows to his stomach, blows that were too short to have much power behind them. Close to his ear, he heard the other's voice as a meaningless jumble of hissing syllables. Somehow, the Lone Ranger's weight threw Wally off his balance, too. The masked man had the fighter's heart that dictates action after the mind has ceased functioning. A mighty heave, a wrench that split the half-healed wound wide open. Still falling, it seemed that time stood still, and split seconds were like hours. And then there was a crash. The masked man's fall was padded by the body of the man he fell on. His superhuman effort had thrown Wally beneath him as the two went down. Wally's head smacked hard against the floor. Now Vince had a gun, was on his feet and coming close. His ugly face looked like a leering demon's as he raised his gun. The Lone Ranger rolled, and as he did so, drew his extra weapon. Two guns spoke as one, their muzzles so close that the flames were intermingled. To the Lone Ranger, close to acrid fumes and scorching flame, it seemed that hell had burst into the room. And then, oblivion. Chapter 28. Wally leads an ace.
Another gun full loaded with six soft-nosed slugs that'll blast your brains clean out of the back of your damned head if you so much as make a move.
These were the first words the Lone Ranger heard as he recovered consciousness. His body was a mass of pain, and each breath brought a stabbing sensation to his chest. He realized, dimly, that Brian Cavendish was speaking. He didn't know to whom.
You're staying right here till Yuma's had plenty of time to get here with the law, and if he ain't come by sundown, I'm blasting the living hell out of you anyhow.
Obviously, Bryant had the situation well in hand. The masked man edged painfully to one side and tried to focus his eyes on the scene about him. The bedroom air was heavy with the smoke of gunfire, and the light was dim. The floor resembled a battlefield. Wally lay where he had fallen, still unconscious. A pool of red surrounded Sawtell's lifeless body. Lonergan rolled upon the floor, clutching his stomach and moaning hideously. The lawyer was dying, that was obvious, but dying in the most horrible and painful way a man can die by bullets. Lombard sat in a chair, his right arm hanging limp and dripping red. His face was drawn with pain, but he was silent. Vince alone seemed to have escaped lightly. He had a handkerchief, a dirty blue one, wrapped around one hand, but this didn't prevent his holding both hands above his shoulders. The masked man struggled to his feet and almost staggered his way to the washstand. He somehow managed to splash water from a pitcher to the basin, then scooped handfuls of it to his face.
You all right?
Bryant Cavendish demanded.
I'm all right. I don't know just why. I thought.
Save your breath till you got enough of it to talk with. I can see good enough to keep these skunks covered. You shot Vince's gun out of his hand. I thought for sure you was a goner.
Lone Ranger heard a soft moan and turned to see Wally recovering from the blow he sustained when his head struck the floor. Still unsteady on his feet, the masked man carried water in the cup and threw it in the other's face. Then he joined Bryant Cavendish after regaining his guns. He sat on the floor and reloaded. For the first time, he was aware of the freshly opened shoulder wound. The blood was soaking through his shirt. His chest, too, bothered him. But there were other things far more important than his personal condition. Wally was sitting up with a dazed look on his face.
You!
Barked Bryant.
Get over there and stand close to Vince!
Wally obeyed slowly. Meanwhile, Lonergan had ceased his cries. The Lone Ranger knew by looking at him that the man was dead. Then he heard Bryant scolding.
I had two guns. I'd have wiped out the lot of them if you hadn't messed into things so I couldn't shoot without probably hitting you.
That's just it, Bryant. I didn't want them all killed. We wanted them alive to talk. There are a lot of other men on this ranch, and everybody has been working with these.
Where are they now?
Outside the house, figuring you and I are dead.
Skunks!
Growled Bryant. Wally appeared to have regained his composure. What are your plans now? He asked.
Shut up and you'll find out. This masked man told me about you, you dirty double-dyed rat, but I wouldn't believe him. He told me that he'd said just enough to you so you'd figure the two of us had to be wiped out. Then he dragged me out of bed and packed me in this here corner of the room and waited till you showed your hand. By God, I never got talked to in my whole damn life like I've been talked to by this critter. Now he showed you up for what you are, I reckon, and I'm due to do some talking.
I ain't interested, said Wally. Now look out here, broke in Miss. I'm your own blood relative, Uncle Bryant, and I...
Don't you call me Uncle, you weasel-faced runt. You was in on everything that took place. Only thing I don't savvy is where's Jeb.
You better be interested in where Penelope is, suggested Wally. You don't give a damn what happens to Jeb, but if you're interested in that girl, you'd better be willing to talk things over reasonable-like.
She's in the care of that Indian, retorted Bryant. And a damn sight safer than she was around here with you crooks.
Wally nodded. Suit yourself, Lone Ranger said.
You were going to say something, Cavendish.
I was, and still am.
Lone Ranger rose again, feeling slightly stronger, and while Bryant talked, did what he could to dress the broken arm of Lombard.
I got plenty to explain. As you said, I didn't want to let on that my eyes was bad because I knew I'd be took advantage of by everyone. So I tried to hide it. Told Mort that I wanted a good lawyer to come here and help me make up my will. Didn't know anything about this Lonergan except that he talked like he knew the law.
He did, said the Lone Ranger.
I had him make out my will and I signed it. When he read it to me, it sounded like I wanted it. The lying crook didn't say nothing about anybody called Munson.
You don't know anybody by that name.
No. When I told you I'd never heard the name, I told the truth.
Well, what about the other document?
I had Lonergan write that up, too. It's just like you said it was. I planned to have all these no-good nephews sign that paper. But Penelope wasn't never supposed to sign it.
She wasn't?
Asked the Lone Ranger quickly.
No, she wasn't supposed to sign that any more than a man named Munson was supposed to inherit my ranch. I left all I owned to Penelope. That's how the will was supposed to read, and that's how Lonergan read it to me. When I took Mort into Red Oak last night, these skunks seen their chance to make Penny sign that damn paper. I savvy what their dirty double-crossing scheme was. I ain't no fool. Them crooks know that none of them could be named in my will without arousing a lot of a suspicion, so they put in the name of Munson. If you want my opinion, there ain't and never was no Andrew Munson.
That, said the Lone Ranger, is about the way they planned it. They knew the claimant to the basin would never appear, and they'd go on running the place in accordance with the terms of the will, and using it as they have been for the past weeks in their cattle business.
Wally yawned in feigned boredom. When you get through with all this talk, you'd better spend a little time deciding whether you want Penelope to live or to die. The Lone Ranger said,
There's one more thing we haven't learned. His voice grew flinty. Who was in the party that ambushed those Texas Rangers?
What's the difference?
Answer me.
If I don't, replied Wally in a bantering tone. The masked man stepped back a pace and drew his gun. He held it at a hip, the muzzle pointed at the stomach of the other.
You saw how Lonergan died,
he said softly.
It wasn't easy to watch.
Wally glanced at the gun and then at the masked man's face. He saw something in those steady eyes behind the mask that made him almost feel the frightful drilling of a slug in the pit of his stomach.
I didn't know anything about it. Mort and Vince planned it by themselves and... You damn squealer!
Yelled Vince.
Go on.
Rangoon bossed the job.
You'd have done it yourself,
bellowed Vince.
If you hadn't been so damn yeller, all of us, all the time, had to take your orders while you strutted around in fancy clothes.
Well, that's what I wanted to know,
the masked man said, holstering his weapon.
That's a confession,
shouted Bryant.
And I heard it. I'll witness that in court.
But wait,
fairly shouted Wally.
You've nothing to gain by hanging us. It'll just mean that Penelope dies too. You don't understand.
One of the windows in the room looked out across the basin to the gap. The masked man had glanced towards this frequently throughout the conversation. Now he saw horsemen coming from the canyon.
Yuma will be here in a few minutes, he said. He's crossing the basin now.
Then you got damn little time to decide. I made arrangements in Red Oak like I told you last night.
Wally addressed himself to Bryant.
There's a woman there that's agreed to take care of Penny and those kids. I didn't say how she was going to take care of her. It's Breed Martin's wife.
Breed Martin,
Bryant roared the name.
A skunk that'll do anything, including murder, for the price of a drink. Why, you?
The old man was trembling in rage, struggling to get to his feet. His hands were working as if his fingers itched to feel Wally's thick throat.
That's just it. I admit all you said here. I admit it to prove that I was willing to go to any length to have my way. I plan to be the richest man in this part of the country.
Wally's voice was shrill and getting shriller.
I wanted every killer in the state taking orders from me. I was going to control this state, and I wouldn't let the life of one girl stand between me and what I wanted. I told that redskin where to take Penelope. I described the house. He can't miss it. 2 hours after she gets there, Breed and his woman will have everything all set to take her and the kids south of the border. And that'll be the last of them. You know damn well what'll happen to a girl as pretty as Penelope in some of them outlaw greaser dives. I told Breed and his wife to get her out of Red Oak and go into hiding till they heard from me. They'll do just that. If I don't show up, they'll go south with her.
Where's that hiding place?
Barked Bryant.
Where is it? Answer me, you louse.
Answer you and then go get hanged? What do you take me for, Bryant, a damn fool? Not on your life. You got to make your mind up quick.
Hooves clattered outside the house. Wally glanced through the window and saw a score of horsemen coming close with Yuma in the lead.
Quick, it's us or Penelope. You can put all the blame on the dead men. If me and Vince and Lombard can ride out of here, we'll promise that Penelope comes home before dark. Turn us over to the law and I swear you'll never see that girl again.
Bryant raged and stormed. His fury broke all past attainments. The louder the old man shouted, the more he said, the more poised Wally became. During the furor, the Lone Ranger made no comment. The hooves clattered in halting, and men's voices carried to the room. The Lone Ranger saw with satisfaction that the men with Yuma were not weak-willed deputies like Slim. They were grim manhunters, Texas Rangers, and they lost no time in herding the men of the basin into a close-packed group with hands upraised. The door was opened downstairs, and heavy boots clattered on the stairs. Bryant Cavendish, sweat dripping from his face, looked beaten. He cast an appealing glance toward the masked man.
I don't have no choice. You gotta stand behind me. That girl's life means more than these crooks' death. That skunk is Blade and Ace.